Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We have an amazing update here with Josh Bernstein. It's the day that the U.S. Embassy is inaugurated in Jerusalem, and they basically took the consulate office and expanded with $400,000 rather than spending $1 billion. So Trump, being a building manager, was smart. He didn't spend a fortune. And the Palestinians are committing what we call stupid suicide against an armed Israeli group and being sniped to death because they just want to die. I mean, it's like any culture that teaches three-year-olds on their birthday to wear a bomblets, plastic bomblets, and someday their mother's crying because someday you'll be a human bomb and blow up Israelis. It's like, this is insane. I think Mayor Golda Meir made the comment that peace will come to Israel and the Palestinians when they love their children more than they hate Israel. Isn't that an interesting comment?
Absolutely, and it's absolutely true. And, you know, you have to understand that this is a 20-year plus in the making happening. This is something that passed through, Congress over 20 years ago, I think 23 years ago, and they all said that they were going to move the capital, Jerusalem, you know, in Israel. And basically every single president from, you know, that time, which I think this was under Bill Clinton, is when it was signed, 1992, I believe.
Right.
And here we are with President Donald Trump, and every single president since has deferred it. Well, it's too dangerous. It's not politically correct. I don't know if we should do it. I don't want to cause any havoc. I don't want to cause any problems. Long story short, President Trump is actually keeping his promise. He's doing the right things. And this is just another example of him coming through with another promise. You know, you have to understand that all these deferments, and again, it was Clinton, it was George W. Bush, it was Barack Obama, they all deferred this. They all said, nah, we're not going to deal with it. And even President Trump did one deferment his first year. But the second year, he said, you know what? It's about time we do what we were supposed to do. We voted on it. It passed 20-something years ago. And let's just do it. They deserve to be able to name their own capital, and I am just thrilled with the decision.
It's amazing to me what's going on. And basically, Trump isn't to be trifled with. When he gave the green light to Israel, they did exactly what they should have done, which is clean out the Iranian missile bases and military bases being built inside Syria, within a hair's breadth of attacking Israel. And you can't really have peace with a nation that says, death to America, death to Israel. Let's put it this way. If someone said that to me, what do you think Dr. Deagle's response would be? Just make a guess.
Well, I think your response would probably be something with very colorful language. And
without being colorful, I'll make it real plain. If I got an actual physical threat or they came through my gate, I'd kill them so fast they never had a heartbeat. Now, if I kept on getting threats and incredible sense that it's going to hurt me or my family, they'll die so fast and it won't be able to connect it to me. I'll make sure I use my technical and other buddies to take care of them. And it won't be pleasant. This is exactly what the Israelis are doing. They're never going to have a Holocaust again. Period. The Samson option means, whether it's the Palestinians, the Russians, or whoever tries to invade or attack Israel, they're going to die in the hills of Israel. It says already in the Bible, 85% of the invaders will die. They're not going to make it. Now, the problem I think that people don't understand is that God, that Israel not only has an attitude, but also they're protected by the Most High God, and by America, the big bad guy in the block. And now America, when it actually is strong and actually uses all its forces, technical, geopolitical, and negotiating, we're unbeatable. And you can see it with an unbeatable leader like Donald Trump, who isn't going to take a back seat like Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, etc., etc., and isn't going to kowtow to actually deconstruct America in our military so that we can't actually negotiate. You can't negotiate from a position of weakness.
No, and you can't negotiate with terrorists. Let's not forget that.
Well, no, you can negotiate one thing. You can negotiate their day of death.
There you go.
Exactly. You have to remove their heartbeat. You have to remove them from the world of the living. We need to identify who they are, and we need to kill them. Okay.
Many of those.
Well, let's accommodate. Actually, you know what? Our job, you're in my job as journalists. Our job is to introduce them to the Secretary for God. Secretary for God is the President of the United States is saying, look, Hamas and Fatah and all these other people that are supporting Hamas in Palestine, we can arrange your appointment to meet Allah. Would you like it to be next Thursday? We're going to come in and we're going to kill you. And now you need to get your best clothes on because when you meet Allah and you get 70 virgins, by the way, if he runs out of virgins, he's got young boys with skin like pearls. But don't mind. Okay. So the fact is that we need to stop playing with these guys. Once they realize we're serious and they start to realize, especially some of the more rational people, it turns out the younger Muslim men are either too much hormones or too stupid. It's the older guys that are high-level Masonic Muslims that don't mind sending armies and armies of young, stupid Muslim men in to die, or some women, or women dressed up, you know, men dressed up like women. And Islam is a suicidal religious cult. It's not a religion. People don't realize that. We have Bill Warner on regularly on that. It's not a religion.
Yeah, it's a political ideology.
It's a cult. It's a cult.
It is. You know, I want to bring something up that you were talking about earlier. And the fact is, and I agree with Benjamin Netanyahu here, I would rather deal with the Iranian situation now rather than later. And we know that they have expedited their nuclear program. We know that they have done this in defiance of the international atomic community. We also know that they had the secret program known as Project Ahmad when Benjamin Netanyahu and the intelligence community in Israel was able to expose all of that. So it's just amazing that our allies in Germany and in the UK and in France want us to stay in this deal. And you know what's interesting, Dr. Bill, is the people that are glad that we're out, guess where they reside? They reside in the Middle East. The Saudi Arabians, they're happy we've left the deal. The Jordanians, they're happy we've left the deal. Kuwait, they're happy that we've left the deal. Israel, they're obviously happy we've left the deal. Bahrain, they're happy that we've left the deal. You notice a pattern there? The pattern is that these people live with these terrorist threats, and these are the people that support our decision to not be, a moniker like death to Israel and death to America. We cannot negotiate with these people. We've got to take them serious when they say that they want to wipe us off the face of the earth.
Let's tell you what my plan would be, and it's even more aggressive than Trump or any other world leader talking on the stage now. Number one, I'd read the Riot Act to Iran that we're going to bring in Delta Force with their special inspectors. We're going to stay there, including all our military bases, which we couldn't on this previous agreement. And if we can't arrange that to be done within a certain period of time, like, say, 2 weeks, I would scan their palace with either rods from God or a gamma weapon we have in space and kill every one of their leaders in their parliamentary building, their mullahs. And then arm the citizenry with giant drops of armaments so citizenry can take over from military force. That's how I would approach it. Kill them and then arm their own people against the regime because if you properly arm them, they'll rise up and you'll find Iran, a very peaceful nation, which actually,
absolutely,
before the 1970s, had a good relationship with the West and with America. And by the way, it has an ancient relationship with Israel, too. It didn't have a negative relationship with Israel, did it?
Dr. Bill, there's been three uprisings in the last 10 years. 2009, you had the uprising. 2014, you had another uprising. And just in the end of last year, in 2017, you had yet another uprising. So you're absolutely correct. The youth of Iran do not like the mullahs, the majority of them.
I guarantee you the same thing applies to North Korea. If they don't come to the negotiating table, is this: we lay out exactly what the terms are. They accept it, or we destroy them. And we need to destroy Kim and all of his generals instantly, and arm the heck out of the regular citizenry to come against anybody who thinks that they're going to have a totalitarian regime in North Korea. And we put on warning: China, if you interfere, we're going to nuke you. Okay? No interference, China. Stand back. And same with Russia. Don't touch. If you touch the button, you die. How's that? That they will understand. Strength, they'll understand. And welcome back. So, I would deal with these nations very sternly. And by the way, I would also start entertaining the idea of sanctions against countries that continue to collaborate with the Iranian agreement. Germany, France, and Britain that are collaborating would continue this agreement, like when Boris Johnson got here, Angela Merkel, and Mr. Macron. We're going to say, hey, guess what? We're going to put sanctions on you if you continue to trade. Because, you see, they value Airbus contracts. When we lost the contracts, because we actually stuck to our guns to some extent, we lost the Airbus contracts that were taken over by Europe to sell Airbuses to Iran. And when we drop these sanctions, they're laughing. They get $150 billion and billions in cash in different currencies. We're idiots. I mean, this guy Obama is, firstly, not an American. Everything he signed is actually ultra vires, which means it has no intent and purpose in constitutional law, because he wasn't an American and still isn't. He has a made-up family that's actually two adopted kids and his tranny wife. It's sickening. And we put up with this crap put by globalists. It's a big joke against us. And our only ally in the Middle East, thank God, it's not just Israel now. It's all these Sunni Arab nations, because they know their neck is on the line because Russia and Iran want to dominate the whole Middle East. And they're not funny. This isn't funny. Iran basically wants,
right.
And you know, another nation that may not put up with this crap either is Turkey. We don't hear much out of Turkey, but even if there's agreement here, we want to make sure that Turkey's on side with the Saudi Arabian prince, because we don't want them to.
I don't believe they are, and I actually.
I agree, and I'm worried about that too, because
this chasm. Hang on, Dr. Bill. This chasm between Sunni and Shia has been going on for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And it's coming to, you know, I guess you could say, a head, if you will, because, you know, I think that there's a lot that Saudi Arabia can do in the Middle East that could pressure not only the Palestinians, but also Hamas and Hezbollah and some of these other groups to stop doing what they're doing. And you have to understand that the Prince of Saudi Arabia has said publicly about the Palestinians that they ought to back off and they ought to just accept Israel and be friends with their neighbor and work to somehow mend a peace agreement. And so I think if America was smart, and whether Jared or David Friedman, the ambassador to Israel, whoever it may be, whoever wants to take the lead on this, if they want to really somehow come up with a concrete peace plan, then obviously it has to start, number one, with recognizing Israel's right to exist. All nations need to sign off on that, first and foremost. But the second thing is, I would use Saudi Arabia, I would use Jordan, I would use Egypt, I would use some of these Sunni-dominant nations to put the pressure on Iran and Hezbollah, which again is a proxy of them, and not necessarily force them to come to the table, but make sure that they understand that this cannot continue. This fighting for the next 100 years, 150, 300, 400 years isn't going to help anyone. We've got to come to some type of peace agreement. That peace agreement starts with recognizing Israel's right to exist. It also starts with the embassy being right where it's at. And it also starts with the non-aggressive approach that Iran must take in the Middle East in order to foment peace in the future.
Right. In other words, Iran, by the way, you have to understand this. Although I heard the statements from Iran, I also know from my contacts inside Israeli intelligence going back to late 90s, where I got satellite photos from the Israeli ImageSat system, etc., and intel, that the Saudis were collaborating with AQ Khan of Pakistan, funding their nuclear program at the Waziristani plant. But the public statement made by one of their foreign ministers was that if Iran is going to pursue nuclear weapons, so would Saudi Arabia. And you'll have a proliferation of weapons. Everybody and their dog that can afford it will have a nuke or more. And so this is an incredibly dangerous thing because we don't just have a two-sided thing. We have a multi-sided disaster here. Anybody making a mistake, for example, an early warning system, here in America between Russia and the Cold War, we had 20 minutes, but we had incoming asteroids. We had mistaken solar coronal mass ejections. We had other things. And luckily, the common sense on both sides prevented us from having a nuclear conflict as well as supernatural intervention. I remember talking to Colonel Lynn Wells, and we had several times where actually the silo doors were actually welded shut. It took 6 months to unweld in Russia, and we had our entire Montana, you know, land-based nuclear missiles actually shut down, so they were completely in the black. They couldn't fire anyway. So people don't understand. We had smart people on the Russian side and our side that didn't launch when they thought there was going to be a first strike by the other side. This isn't the case in the Middle East. You've got a window of opportunity of maybe 2 minutes or less. So somebody with too much ouzu or Middle Eastern drink or a bad attitude could push the damn button, and before you know it, you've got a holocaust of everybody and their dog throwing nukes and biological weapons at each other. And that'll precipitate a nuclear war much more assuredly than North Korea. North Korea basically is a suicide, you know, hermit state that we can probably decapitate. But the Middle East has got not just two sides to this, it's multi-sided, isn't it?
It is multi-sided, but here's the thing. I think Israel, you know, should do something, some kind of activity to take out the Iranian nuclear program. I really, truly do.
Now, if this deal falls through, they should take out Bashir.
Yeah, doesn't have to be nuclear. I'm not saying that it needs to be...
Oh, not nuclear. They have to have something that will bury the plant or dig it in a big hole.
What it needs to be, though, is robust enough to get to Natanz, to get to Quds, to get to Parsons, to get to these locations in which they have these nuke programs that are buried well beyond the soil, well underground, and we need those bunker busters, you know, those mother of all bombs that we dropped on Syria. We need to have 5 to 10 of those dropped by Israel onto these programs and get rid of them.
Israel doesn't have bombers big enough, but we do. But I think, honestly, Trump should do it. I think Trump should stop this idea. Either Trump deals with his first term or after his second term, we have a nuclear war. 2025, we're going to have nukes flying in every direction or 10 years from now. And then most of the population of Earth is going to die in it. Now, there are people on Earth, the former globalist people, actually say, hey, that's great. We want 95% of people to die. They'll go in their bunkers and their underground facilities for months expecting the radiation to clear, and they could care less if 95% of the population is dead. That's how crazy some of these trillionaires and billionaires are.
Yeah, it is pretty nuts. But I agree with you. I mean, if we get rid of the program, I would certainly do it after the midterms. That'd be the first thing I would do. Once we hold the House and the Senate, we're going to tell the Democrats, surprise, we're wiping out Iran. And actually, you know, John Bolton, there's a story out there. I'm actually going to do a segment on it for this week's show, in which he was speaking, and they have him on video saying that we will take out we'll do regime change by 2019 against Iran. So it's already in the works.
They have to. You don't change a liar like these guys. I've seen Rouhani on TV, and he made statements that on the facts of it, even on the open facts from AP Newswire and even CNN, who tries to kind of always jimmy things up. On the open facts, he's liars. Like, you can't deal with these people. They believe it's a religious duty, Atakia and Maruna, to lie to the profane non-Muslims.
Yep.
It's not funny. The only way we can solve this is we put them in the ground. That's it. Sorry. And it's not murder. It's self-defense. Either take care of it now or die later. How's that?
Amen. I couldn't agree more. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So, Josh, let's continue. Well, that's interesting. I'm getting Josh Bernstein on my phone rather than on the Josh, you there?
Yeah, I'm having a problem with my laptop. It's just out of nowhere.
Okay, well, I guess you got knocked off because you were talking about stuff that they didn't want you to talk about. We'll get the studio to call you right back, okay, Josh? I'm going to hang up here, and we'll get the studio to call you. Take care. Bye. Let me try. I'll just send hang up here and I'll call on my speakerphone, okay?
Just do it on the phone. Call me back on the phone.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see if we can call you on Skype. Let's try that, too.
No, I just said it won't work.
Oh, it won't work. Okay, I'll call you on... You hang up and I'll call you on the other line, okay? Take care, bye. Okay, yeah, just okay. So our board op will call and connect Josh. Obviously, we're touching on things that the powers that be don't want to be discussed because they don't want to hear about the seriousness of the situation and how it's actually guaranteeing a future nuclear, chemical, biological scalar war. And of course, we're entering the Matrix. We see the Gates Foundation and other billionaires wanting to have satellite surveillance of everything on Earth, feeding into their Matrix supercomputer, artificial intelligence, and eventual financial control system. If you don't think this is a global scheme, and that we're going to talk about this extensively in hour number 3 with Deborah Tavares, because people need us to understand about the idea of targeted individuals and targeted societies and targeted truth-tellers, it is a real fact. And it's on multiple levels, spiritual, physical, scalar, etc., and it's very real. Josh, you back. Yeah, Josh, I have you on the line. I think somehow the number that our board op has these things is disconnected, so I'm going to get them to call you in 1 second because obviously the powers that be didn't want us to talk about what we did. So that's a good sign. If you get taken flack and these
are on my computer right now, so tell them to wait a few minutes.
No, just we're going to call you on the phone line. We're going to call you on the phone, okay?
Right here on this one.
Yeah, right on this line. I'm going to hang up right now. They'll call. Okay, so let's connect to Josh. What's happening today in Israel is very, very timely, and it is apocalyptic because so many things have to happen for the revealing of the true sons of God, the revealing of the resurrection and the salvation of Israel, which isn't saved right now. It's returned to the land in unbelief. It's basically an apocalypse. We have Josh back. Josh, are you there?
Yeah, that's what happens when you have your show sponsored by the NSA, Dr. Bill. You got to change your sponsor.
Listen, the NSA controls everything. I watched Silicon Valley last night. They always get a few jabs in. And they wanted to have an internet system. It wasn't set up on servers, so it was kind of controlled through basically connection to people's cell phones and it didn't have a server center. But one of the things they mentioned once they were successful and they were able to beat the other parties that were trying to take it over here and in China is that the NSA, I hear background, so I think there's an open speaker somewhere. So there's an open mic. So we want to close that open mic.
Can you hear better now?
Yeah, I can hear better now.
Okay,
but I still hear an echo in the background. So there's an open mic somewhere either in GCN or if you have a speakerphone. So anyway, on Silicon Valley, they talked about the NSA wanted to have a backdoor to get into the system.
Mm-hmm.
What the NSA is concerned about in the global intel agencies is they know non-prime number encryption technology, things like crypto coins, like our Karat Bars coins and ICO coin systems like CareBank ICO and other cryptocurrencies, and the dark internet and so on that's using encryption technologies that they can't break or cost them a fortune. It makes it impossible for the deep state to be in control of everything on Earth. And they're completely freaked over it. A lot of the people don't believe this is happening. They're in la-la land, or I call, they're not really human beings, they're lemming beings. You know, they look like humans, but they actually have lemming fur over their snout and everything. They really don't understand. And they actually want to get angry about the fact that we tell them the reality is that both the left and the right, you can see it with people like John Mickens saying the bugger is dying of cancer, and he's still trying to stop people like Haspel from becoming the new director of the CIA. I mean, on his way out going to hell, this son of a bitch is still making nasty comments and things to disrupt Trump's agenda to fix America and make it not only great again, but make it safe again from a future EMP strike, a cyber hack, or terrorism that'll bring America down and break it up into a civil war, which, by the way, that's what Obama was doing, is balkanizing America into a bunch of subsegments, and we see it even with the Russian hacking. They want to push the left agenda and the right agenda so they get everybody angry with each other so we can't operate as a nation. Anybody with common sense who just deal with the issues could sit down at the table and say, you know, let's figure out something that works, whether it's health care, national security, or immigration, which should be basically something that industry and states have to put in a request of a specific number. You can have a work visa program. This is not impossible to figure out. Same way with health care. But, you know, the problem is when we talk about nations like Israel, we cannot permit Israel to be attacked. We cannot permit Iran to take over the Middle East. We cannot permit extreme Islam, whether it's Sunni or Shiite, to dominate the world. We can't. We can't allow China to have the Belt and Road and project its power over the world of these geriatric PLA billionaires that are running their country and crushing everybody. We just can't. I mean, and if America stands tall, which it hasn't been happening for since John F. Kennedy was assassinated, then, you know, we're going to be crushed. And so if Trump doesn't do what he's doing, not only will Israelis die, but Americans will die. And anybody else in the world, if you think you have a national country like New Zealand or Australia, it's not going to exist. Borders and nation states will not exist in the future if we don't stand up. And America is the doorstop for the devil. We're the only thing stopping between the end of nation states and the end of the idea that nations can rise up and represent people on Earth and have local representation government. We're the only one left that can do it. Not China, not Russia, not anybody else. It's America,
and that's
isn't
why
it?
And that's why it's so imperative and so important that President Trump is successful, because, again, I believe that this was a reprieve. President Trump's election was a reprieve from the onslaught of communism and socialism, progressivism and collectivism that was taking shape in our nation. And
right.
When he was elected, that was a reprieve. That was a sign from above that said, you know what, we're going to give you one last chance. We're going to let this guy guide the country back to its greatness. But if you blow this, that's it. There's not going to be another white horse with a knight on it in the future.
Right.
And that's what we've got to worry about here, because the Republicans have a prime opportunity, the greatest opportunity for the Republican Party in its history, in my opinion.
Right.
Totally turn and change the course of history to be more, you know, more open, more free, more prosperous, more liberty-based. And what are they doing? Because they don't like the messenger, they're attacking him, and they're wasting the opportunity to reverse course in history.
Well, but look at nutballs like Bernie Sanders. I mean, the guy should have more common sense. He supports Brennan, but he won't support Haspel when it basically Brennan was the director of the CIA during the so-called enhanced interrogation techniques. If enhanced interrogation techniques save thousands, do you think it's not rational? No, I use much more subtle technology. We can put mind-altering injections and other things like we call sensory impairment or sensory deprivation tanks, where we can basically put you in a dream state, and you're going to answer every question we ask you. So it's not necessary to put people in waterboarding. I don't think that's as effective to kind of scare people into the truth. You actually want them to put in a state where they're like a little child and they're basically in a dream state and they're going to answer your questions. So I believe an enhanced interrogation can be much more expertly done without, you know, cutting off fingers or doing something terrorizing to people. But I think they're necessary because we're dealing with people that think that lying is a religious necessity, Takiyah and Maruna. And we shouldn't tolerate it when it could mean thousands may die or millions may die because we don't want to interrogate. Are you kidding? Ridiculous, isn't it?
And look, I'm a big fan of waterboarding. I think that effectively to get Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to give up vital information to save Americans.
I agree, but I think I could actually make it better. I could make it better than waterboarding. Waterboarding is kind of primitive, you know, caveman style interrogation. I think we could.
Healthcare.
Welcome back. And so, Josh, I'd like you to summarize what you think about all the things that are happening right now. This week is a blockbuster week for Trump and negotiations internationally. And you can see already that, you know, even this guy Kim is suggesting he's going to blow up his nuclear facilities. They're already blown up. We got satellite photos. We know what happened. He blew them up as a mistake. He actually had a nuke that went off.
Exactly.
The underground facility. The fact is that China knows their vice is in the grip. They're actually sending a delegation to America because they're about to lose 70,000 jobs because they want to have a high-tech company do some business. They need to know that they either play ball with America or we squeeze their testicles so hard they're going to scream. If China thinks without us as a customer with all the industrial espionage you're doing, they're going to make it as a world power, they're delusional. And most of the country in rural areas is starving to death, and they've been stupid enough to even move them into these giant empty cities that they built. Why would you build cities for millions of people that nobody's living there? And then force the rural people into these cities with no skill sets to survive there. It's insane. I think the Communist Party are becoming pre-demented.
You asked me in the beginning of this segment, what do I think a wrap-up for this week?
Yeah, I want you to wrap it up. What's going on?
I think it's winning. I think it's using the art of the deal on the geopolitical stage. I think that he's showing leadership. We're not leading from behind. We're leading from the front. The Iran situation, again, getting out of that deal was a smart thing, not a bad thing. Having trade wars with China and other countries is a smart thing, not a bad thing. Having the embassy moved to Jerusalem, not a bad thing. I think it'll actually help lead to peace eventually. Yes, right now there's going to be skirmishes. There's going to be people that are having issues with it. But in the end, and then also North Korea added on top of that, we are winning. That's the thing. This president has kept his promises. We are winning. We are literally using the art of the deal to solve geopolitical problems. And I would recommend anyone, I didn't write the book. I didn't do a foreword for it. But I'm telling you, because I have read it, that what's going on right now is textbook art of the deal. And he is a businessman. He's a smart man. He's a very intelligent business person. He's a cunning negotiator. He's a hard tactic type of person when he has to be. He can be soft when he needs to be. He knows when to apply pressure, when to back off from having pressure. And he's leading through strength and not weakness, finally. So I hope and pray that it continues. I hope and pray. I mean, we're now seeing the generic Republican, Democrat now already tied up. It was down 12, then it went to 3. Now it's tied up. You've got the people on the right track at over 60%, and you've got the approval rating. It says 49-50, but I believe it's 58-60-62%.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's much higher.
Understanding that whether you like this guy or not, whether you like his attitude, his personality, it doesn't matter. He's helping you, your community, and your family. And I believe that that's finally resonating with the American people.
Well, let's put it this way. Instead of, let's say, politics, we'll call it hockey. Now, I like hockey, okay? I can tell you, having been raised not only in Michigan, but also in Canada, Eastern Canada, hockey is very akin to real politics. Now, the best way to think of Donald Trump would be a top hockey player like Wayne Gretzky. And if you think it's not aggressive to play hockey, you're delusional.
Right.
The fact is, if you don't show strength and the ability to negotiate and the ability to be soft and hard and pivot on issues, and he pivots. For example, he's done things, for example, recently just this week, on putting a new bill out to deal with the price of drugs. As I've said already, don't try to shove a giant bill across health care. Break it up into a dozen bills. Many of them just policy changes or executive actions or various things you need to do to change the competition strategy. You can do this in steps. And once you get the majority in the House and Senate and you get, say, 60 votes, you don't have to do a nuclear option. You can put in health care that's rational. You don't want nationalized freaking health care. I saw what it did in Canada. Hangnail medicine at the speed of light and murder to not only the unborn but the elderly when you get beyond a certain Apache score in the ICU. The fact is, all these people want to have nationalized health care. They're idiots. They do not understand. You won't get advanced anti-aging medicine. You'll get hangnail medicine, poor quality drugs, poor quality pretend medicine that's not going to really extend your life or reduce your misery while you're getting older. And as a result, you think health care, just look at this baby that died recently in Britain because the British government had literally guards standing around the hospital so they couldn't take it away by helicopter, little baby, to possibly survive in Italy. Even the Pope, who I don't always agree with, actually suggested this. So, Josh, your comments, because people don't understand.
My comments are what you were talking about, getting back to what you were talking about with hockey. The president is, you know, Wayne Gretzky or whatever you want to call him. He's Bobby Hull or whoever. He's one of the greats. And the reason he is think about it. Hockey is one of the hardest sports to play. It's basically football and soccer and basketball on ice. So not only do you have to be a good hockey player, but you've got to be a good ice skater too. So it's actually two sports in one, and then you add all the other things inside of it. That's what President Trump is. That's a perfect analogy of what he is. He is balancing everything, and he's learned how to ice skate. He's learned how to play soccer and football and all the different things and all the different elements all at once, despite all the people that are trying to melt the ice underneath his skates. I think that's an excellent analogy, and I think you're absolutely correct. And I think as things move on, the world is actually going to get safer, not more dangerous, because we finally have someone that's leading and taking charge and making the world a better place.
Now, the first thing we have to do besides that is we've got to make the GOP a better place. We're seeing with bad GOPers, like, for example, like John McCain and others, that they need to go. And what I'm hoping between now and 2018 and 2020 especially is that we reform the GOP so it becomes a Trump GOP. Not a GOP that's actually trying to frustrate the hell out of him and not stand with him on all kinds of issues. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It is. And you know what's interesting about that is the situation that we're seeing with some of these former WWE wrestlers that are now running, Republicans that are running for, you know, Senate in Nevada, one's running for the mayor. So what's happening is the outsider, the non-political outsider, the person that, you know, isn't an entrenched, you know, Republican in the establishment and all that, they're now starting to run for office, even in these midterms. So the best thing about President Trump is he's broken down that facade that you have to be a Washington insider, that you have to have and spend all the money and capital in the world to get elected. You can be who you are, you can be an outsider, and you can disrupt the system and get elected. So I think that this is a great development because it's going to mean that it's going to pull the Republican Party much closer to the Trumplican Party than it is to the establishment party. And I think that that is the best development from President Trump's presidency so far.
Yeah. One comment I want to ask you is, you heard about the Pope calling for worldwide gun confiscation, except for the on the United Nations. Isn't that wild?
Is an Argentinian socialist / communist. This is someone that has refused to hold pedophile priests accountable for the disgusting, deplorable actions that they've done. As a matter of fact, I may even do a segment on that for this week's show as well. I am not excited at all with this Pope. And, you know, it's amazing because the left loves this guy because he's everything that they are. He's a socialist. He's a collectivist. He's a progressive. He's anti-gun. He's, you know, he's just disgusting. So it would be wonderful to get rid of this Pope, but we can't. That's the problem.
Oh, no, no. I'll tell you what you do, actually. You get Catholics, including cardinals and bishops and so on, to revolt against him, and you revise the church from the inside, which needs a revision.
He's an appointment for life. I mean, you know, I hate
I can tell you right now, the knowing enough about Catholics, being raised a Catholic when I was a kid and a high altar boy, I can tell you, they can revolt against it. They can call for the cardinals to call and recall him. They need to. This guy is out of his mind. He's not even... If you want to say that the Catholics at least have a decent religion, this guy is completely off his rocker. Anybody who knows any canon dogma or whatever, just, let's put it this way, he's akin to a Muslim religion. How's that? That's how bad it is.
Dr. Bill, listen, I was under the impression that it cannot be done, that he cannot be removed.
Yes, it can be removed. It can be removed by the...
If you have information, email it to me, because I'm going to do a segment on it. And one of the things I was not going to do a segment on it because of is because there was no action. There was no call.
Yes, there is. The Council of Cardinals can call for a special conclave. They can have him removed from office for his recent behavior, etc. He is out of lunch. Out to lunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look into it.
Very good.
Of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.